Today we start off with a belief versus a fact. The belief is that the Zika virus, which causes children to be born with serious mental disabilities, is a disease found only in Latin countries, south of the United States, in Africa, and is pretty much their concern, not ours. The fact can't be more different, as evidenced by the recent birth of a child in New Jersey with Zika, as well as the 279 pregnant women in America currently being monitored by the CDC. Now, before a justifiable concern turns into an ignorant panic, my first guest today is here to explain what is currently known and can be done to deal with the Zika virus. He's a pediatric immunology and infectious disease expert at the Children's Hospital at St. Peter's University Hospital, which is in New Brunswick. Dr. Peter Wenger, good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you here to, as I said, help people, because when they see, and especially when the visual is included with stories about Zika, obviously it's heart-wrenching to see these children, but also the unknown and the mystery just adds to the challenges of trying to remain calm and sensible with all this. But as far as what we know, what happened here in New Jersey, a woman gave birth, but it was not a birth that was, she was visiting New Jersey. This is not an event that took place from, I guess we could say, from start to finish in New Jersey.
Yeah, the transmission didn't occur. The transmission of the virus, and from what I've read and heard, that she had acquired the virus via mosquito bite, which happened in her home country in Honduras. And then she came to New Jersey, and she delivered here. And unfortunately, her baby had demonstrated what we call microcephaly, a small head, due to developmental issues with the brain.
And for the uninitiated, give us the overview with Zika. Is that pretty much the end result of Zika? Are we seeing variables in Zika?
Well, yeah, it is variable. I mean, Zika in and of itself, if you happen to be acquire Zika, where there's transmission, generally in people after they've been born, it's a fairly mild disease. It's if anything at all, about 20 to 25% of people who become infected develop disease. The majority of it is completely asymptomatic, and the disease in the person bitten by the mosquito generally involves a rash, a fairly itchy rash, some joint pain, red eyes, what we call conjunctivitis, and a low-grade fever, which can last anywhere from 4 to 7 days and goes away, and that's it. The problem is if a pregnant woman becomes infected, then there can be what we call vertical transmission. In other words, she passes the infection to her unborn child in the uterus. There's an in utero infection, and then that could result in very serious developmental issues and neurological problems.
So, I guess medically speaking, a person can't be a carrier per se of Zika, but they could be carrying the cause of Zika if they wind up transporting in some way, shape, or form an infected mosquito on them.
Well, no. What can happen is if a person is infected anyway with this active transmission, if another mosquito bites them and then bites someone else, that's how the disease is transmitted.
Okay.
So a mosquito would bite someone, an infected mosquito would bite someone, would transmit the virus to the human. It circulates in various different body fluids, different, for instance, in the blood. In most people who are not pregnant, it's around for about 5 to 7 days. If a mosquito bites you during that time and feeds on you, he can pick up the blood with the virus. And then if he bites someone else, the mosquito may transmit it to that person. It appears that the virus lasts longer in the urine, lasts longer in semen. So there have been occurrences of sexual transmission of Zika.
A couple of cases in Florida.
But the main mode of transmission is the mosquito. But it's a cycle between mosquitoes generally and humans.
Talking with Dr. Peter Wenger from the Children's Hospital at St. Peter's University Hospital in New Brunswick. St. Peter's, hch.hcs.com is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And with the mosquitoes, based upon what I was able to read, The most able to carry Zika mosquito is not native in New Jersey, but there is a mosquito who could be a carrier of the virus in New Jersey if this species of mosquito had the access to an infected person and did the process you just talked about.
No, that's right. But the mosquito is, there are, the mosquito that passes the most commonly, at least that we're aware of, is called the Aedes aegypti, and there's an Aedes albopictus. Those are two Aedes species of mosquito, and they do happen to live in New Jersey. But it's not the most common mosquito in New Jersey. There are other species, but they do exist in New Jersey. So there is a potential of transmission within the state. Now, again, I want to let your listeners know that there's been no documented transmission in the United States. Now, there has been in the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and in some U.S. territories, but nothing in the United States to date. But there is a potential because the mosquito does live in sections of the United States, including New Jersey.
And as mentioned in the introduction, the CDC is monitoring 279 pregnant women nationwide, including U.S. territories. And when you think of the territorial regions, those are smaller, more confined areas. So there might be, stands a chance of a greater degree of prevalency in areas like that just because of the nature of physics and size and everything else. But when you look at, let's take, for example, there's a concern with the Olympics in South America. For the scenario that you just set up, that sounds like it could be, unless carefully monitored and people monitoring themselves and every possible precaution taken, that could be the key that can open a real bad door.
Well, first let's take there's a lot of traffic between the United States and areas where there's active Zika transmission. It's not only Brazil. It's a large part of the South American continent, a large part of Central America, the Polynesian Islands. And there's lots of traffic between the United States and those countries. The amount of people going to the Olympics, it probably makes up a small proportion of that. And anyone traveling in a Zika, in an area where there is active Zika transmission via mosquitoes, is at risk of getting Zika. So to just stop the Olympics, I think that's a small portion of the population that does travel back and forth between those areas. So I wouldn't especially be concerned. I mean, I think people should take the proper precautions. And just to comment on the precautions, remember, there's no cure for Zika, and as yet there is no immunization. So the best way to prevent it is to prevent getting bitten by a mosquito or taking the proper precautions during sex if your partner, the male partner, has been in areas where there's Zika transmission.
That goes on with what I've been saying. The best thing to avoid, the worst possible scenario, is if you've gone to an area where Zika or the Zika carrying mosquito is prevalent, just try not to get pregnant for the range being from anywhere from 7 to 60 days.
Well, the recommendation now is there's only been documentation or evidence that the Zika virus can be spread sexually from men to women. There's no evidence yet that it can go the other way, from women to men.
Right.
So therefore, if a man is in a Zika transmission area, which is fairly broad spread, and that includes Puerto Rico, when they come back, or even in those countries, if they have no symptoms, then they should spend 8 weeks either, as long as they're out of the area. And let's say they're from New Jersey, they go down, they come back.
Right.
The 8 weeks either using a condom properly or abstaining from sex for 8 weeks. If they have symptoms of Zika or it's been documented that they have Zika, then it should be 6 months either using a condom from when they had the symptoms, from using a condom or abstaining from sex. So that's the recommendations at this point.
And for the pregnant, and if a woman does get pregnant, sonogram can quickly determine whether or not something has taken place, and you can make your choices from that point forward. Learn more about...
Well, a sonogram is not complete. I mean, there's other things you have to do. You have to wait at a certain time in your pregnancy, and obviously you have to speak to your doctor, your OBGYN, the woman, to properly time the ultrasound. And it isn't completely definitive. There has to be an evaluation once the child is born.
Absolutely. He's a pediatric immunology infectious disease expert with the Children's Hospital at St. Peter's University Hospital in New Brunswick. On the web, stpetershcs.com. Dr. Peter Wenger, thanks for clarifying a lot of the myths and the fears and giving us the facts. Thanks for being here this morning.
Well, I hope it helped, and I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much. And I wish your listeners a very great weekend.